today's gospel, we have Jesus' beautiful teaching from the Sermon on the Mount on the Beatitudes. But to fully understand the Beatitudes, it's important first to understand the context in which Jesus gives them. Because in the Gospel of Matthew in particular, when he presents the Sermon on the Mount, he places it in such a context that harkens us back to Moses, and Moses going up Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and then to deliver it to the people. The mountain is going to be seen as a place of encounter with God, but it's also can be considered as the cathedra or the seat of authoritative teaching. So as Moses went up the mountain, encountered God, and then came down into the crowd sitting before him, unveiled the Ten Commandments, or the law, Jesus now is going to go up the mountain, but instead of receiving the commandments from outside of him to then go and give to the people, he now is going to be giving the teaching from within himself. And from the seat of authority on the mountain with the crowds around him, just as Moses has done, Jesus now is going to unveil the law. But it's going to be the new law, or the law of the new covenant, which can also be called the law of grace or the law of the Spirit. And it really is going to be a description of the path of discipleship, of the way of following Christ. Because first and foremost, when we read the Beatitudes, what we're really looking at is an interior biography of the life of Jesus. He is the one who lived the Beatitudes most perfectly. And if discipleship is a following after the Lord, then the Beatitudes really mark out this new law or this new path that we take in discipleship of Jesus to follow after him. Suppose when we read the Beatitudes, they can seem a bit paradoxical, and when we look at them on their surface, they perhaps don't necessarily strike us immediately as being something all that attractive to us, or we can even look at them with a little bit of fear. Interesting enough, the word beatitude in and of itself means happiness or blessedness. The Beatitudes, as this path of discipleship, are really meant to be a kind of recipe to find happiness, blessedness, and fulfillment in life. And each of them represents a kind of paradox, because it's really going to be comparing life in the economy of God in discipleship of Jesus, as opposed to really what the economy of this world is trying to teach us. And those two things are necessarily opposed, since the world opposes Jesus and the path of love and discipleship of Christ. And therefore, it's not surprising that the Beatitudes appear as a kind of paradox. On the one hand, they're a recipe for happiness, but on the other hand, when we look at them from a worldly perspective, they're kind of fearful and intimidating. We don't have time to go into each of the eight Beatitudes this morning, but just by way of one example, let's take the first beatitude, which is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit in sacred scripture are going to be those who recognize their complete and utter dependence upon God. They come before God humbly on their knees and with their hands and arms wide open, knowing that everything they have received in life is a gift from God, and knowing that they are completely dependent on his love and goodness to sustain them in their day-to-day life. This, of course, would be in opposition to what the world tells us, which is basically to try and clutch and grab for whatever we can take, and to try to amass enough wealth and material goods that we can consider ourselves secure, self-sufficient, and totally independent. And that, of course, is fundamentally going to be a lie in our relationship to God. The kingdom of God, far more than a place, is really a reference to God's active lordship and dominion in our life. In other words, it's a reference to God's fatherly and providential care over us. And here now we can see the connection. The poor in spirit, the ones who see my life is totally dependent upon God. I need him every day of my life. I count on his grace. I need his sustenance every day. They come before him with arms open, totally open to a relationship with him. And in exchange, in a wonderful way, they experience the providence of God acting in their life. And they're able to go through their journey of faith in this world serenely in faith and in trust, knowing that God is their Father who is looking after them and moving toward the next life where that promise will be absolutely fulfilled and our relationship with God will be completely the source of our joy and happiness. And that again is going to be in opposition to those who think, if I can only amass enough wealth, I can be totally independent, totally self-sufficient, and as such, I don't need anyone, not even God, to make my journey. So the Beatitudes then are really marking out for us the path of discipleship and of following Christ, because when we think of blessed are the poor in spirit, the one who is most open in his relationship with the Father, and who most experienced the comfort and consolation of his communion with the Father, was Jesus himself. He who emptied himself of his divinity to become one of us, to become poor with us, in the goodness of his relationship with God, ultimately goes to the cross to manifest his great love for us and to save us. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this Monday, let us ask God for the grace that we would always take courage and heart when we look at the Beatitudes, that we would see them as being a path toward happiness and fulfillment in life, that we would truly see them as being the path that Jesus himself walked, and that as the disciples of Jesus, we too are called to follow. Amen.